Welcome to Awakening Matters with your host, Cynthia Sloan. This show is about illuminating the very real truth. We all have gifts to offer, and we are born with them. With that said, I am delighted and honored to share with all of you another gift Spirit sent my way 11 years ago. Right now is such a difficult time and an intense time at that in the mass consciousness on many levels, and for some on every level of survival. I'm here to share with you that with spirits dwelling within you, through you, and together as one, you can survive and thrive all that comes your way. And I would not be able to be stating that other than I am the living, walking truth of that. So I want to share with everyone a recap of my journey, just a short one. And that is that my journey with spirit began at 6 years old, and it began with the discovery, a very delightful and surprising discovery at home, actually, carrying the laundry of the washer or to the washer and dryer in the kitchen. As children, 5 and 6 years old, we would walk over to the garage, open the garage door that was attached to the kitchen door, open it, and just throw our clothes in into the black garage. Wherever they landed was good enough for us. Close the door and walk away. Well, this particular day, I was on my route and carrying, well, mostly dropping what was in my arms, and as I approached the door to the garage from the kitchen, I just opened it like I had 100 times before that. And when I opened it, I was very surprised to literally visually see before me, hovering above the ground but below the ceiling, completely black and white, no color, an older, balding individual man, and wearing a black and white tweed suit. It was very torn and tattered and old. And I'll never forget the sound of the chains, actually, he had around his wrist that then connected to his waist, that then connected to his ankles. And so as I stood there, being around 5 or 6 years old, I dropped the clothes and stared at this being. And the amazing part is that this being was just as surprised and turned and looked at me, and we both screamed at each other. And so with that scream, there was definitely an acknowledgement for a 5-year-old that this is real. And, you know, when you're 5 years old, or at my age at 5 years old, there wasn't really a question of was if it was real or not. It just simply was happening. So I remember being who I am, saying, "I'm sorry," and this older black and white etheric being, but I could see him physically, but no color, just stood there with his eyes wide open, and I remember closing the door and standing on the other side of that garage and thinking, well, I guess everyone knows about the black and white man that lives in the garage, and just shrugging my shoulders and going about my way. I was 5 years old. But that was the first conscious recognition of, I think, an etheric or other dimensional presence in my being. Around 6 years old, let's fast forward, more towards 7, but we'll just say 6 years old, my father called a family meeting, and we were all seated listening, well, probably not listening to what he had to say. We were all instead humming music in our minds, or thinking of something else, I'm sure. And I remember my father was very intent on getting a point across, and we were all very intent on kind of rolling our eyes but looking down, etc. And as I looked down, when I looked up at my father, again, out of the blue, I saw visually around him this huge amount of movement and color, different colors, and sacred geometry, and the placement of things and the movements of things, and sparks of light, and it was just as in awe I am to this day of the light body, which is none like the aura, and all of the communication it holds and shares. I was just as in awe of it at 6 years old, and I'm sure my father felt like he was really, really had my attention and was sending that message home. I did not hear a word he said. But I was completely taken into the visual symphony and energy of what I was seeing. And I felt so much warmth coming from that light show. I will call it what it looked like at 5 years old. And I remember standing there, staring at it, and just thinking how beautiful it was, and asking myself internally, not externally, what is that? And I heard a response. And from that day on, from that moment on, when I turned away from my father, everything in the entire house had not only an aura to it, a light body, but the consciousness connected, the universal consciousness connected to that form, and my ability to recognize that when I spoke to it, just, of course, it was intuitively, but at 6 years old, just it would be referred to as just inside myself, that energy would respond, and I could hear it and feel it, let alone see it. So from 6 years old on, I began a very almost a very strong relationship, really based on trust, and most importantly, I have to say, based on love and warmth, because whenever the energy around all forms, including the dog, the plant, and everything in the room would speak to me, it would speak to me from a place of love and from a place of continuum, like there was no separation between that energy and love and what I felt in my deep core energetics, which was spirit and love. So a dialogue began, daily dialogue at that time, that continued for the rest of my life and continues to this day. And the dialogue has been communicating with the universal language, language of the heart, the language of vibration, of electricity, of sacred geometry, of mass consciousness, of universal consciousness, alive and in movement, communicating and breathing at all times. So that started, I'm going to say, my education from that moment on, because what started happening was a daily dialogue with the energy around everything and kind of teaching me, as an example, Spirit would say to me, do you see that person's energy or do you see that person's light? Was more of the way it was put to me at such a young age. And I would say yes internally, and then they would say, they meaning guides and or spirit beings or whatever I was feeling, or even just the energy, the consciousness of a form communicating with me. At age 6, I didn't need to separate it, conquer it, divide it, name it, and put it in a file in regards to relationship to me. It simply was love and light. So at that young age, Spirit would guide me into the focus of somebody's aura or their light body and say, do you see how it is now? And I would look at it and say, mm-hmm. And then Spirit would say, well, they're going to change their mind. Watch. And their entire aura would shift and change. Placement, movement would change. Everything would change. And then they would explain, or I would hear intuitively, how, where it was before and where it was now and how, all of that. And of course, as I got older, the teachings became more expansive, more in depth, and constant. It was funny to me at a very young, early age, how often what people said verbally did not match what they were saying in their hologram, their light body, their aura, however you want to refer to it. And I definitely took notice of that. The unending and ongoing love that was present and permanent, I have to say, in the core energetics of every person, being, and form, it was often withheld from a person in their consciousness or in their mental clarity. They would withhold love or withhold a lot of different incoming information or energy, and mostly love, withhold it from themselves, if not withholding it from all others. However, the constant that never dissipated or went away based on situation or reaction or non-reaction was the constant love and light dwelling in the center heart of each and every individual that I saw. So if I had not lived these experiences, I could not speak on behalf of how they have shaped my being internally and my life externally. My understanding of universal divine orchestrations and even personal soul evolutions. If I had not lived, the knowledge of reading a book is one thing, it stays knowledge, then you living an experience and moving through it to the other side of it, that becomes soul evolution. And I had so many experiences from 5, 6 and on, just like I said, really a daily opportunity to be, which I think we all have, and we all actually participate in, whether we are conscious of it or not, but a daily participation in the greatest school there is, and that's the school of life. So I would say that I was born into the school, and my life is the certificate. So that leads me to, by the way, for those who want to comment or share or have a question, please feel free to call toll-free 888-627-6008. Again, toll-free 888-627-6008. Or, and that's toll-free, or 530-327-7602. 530-327-7602, and I believe the 530 number is a California number. But in any case, feel free to listen or to participate energetically or physically by calling in. So as life continued, you know, I spoke at the beginning of the show about how this we are living times that are very difficult. And what I want to share with everybody listening is, a lot of times, individuals feel that to be gifted or to have certain talents, which I believe I do not possess anything greater or lesser than any other human being with a soul, I just simply became very focused on that aspect and guided to it, and it grew and expanded, and my relationship of trust with that divine language, I call it a divine dialogue, became the primary one. Everything else was secondary and so on down the line. So not unlike an individual that decides they want to be a runner, and they start focusing on that, and they start practicing to the degree that they manifest the ability to go on and win in the Olympics, so to speak, far beyond their imagination. Same thing with me. As a 5 and 6-year-old child, I certainly didn't have a conscious recognition of what I wanted for the future. I was just in the moment, and I was very blessed that this focus came in, and the centered part of it with so much love, and then so many physical experiences, starting with the being in the garage to then so on and so forth with spirit, that, again, it molded and shaped my ability to not only speak on behalf of it with infinite truth, my own truth, never meant to replace anyone else's truth. I'm only sharing my truth. It's an opportunity for you to contemplate it only if it resonates for you. And if it doesn't, I'm just sharing my story with you, and I hope you enjoy it. So, you know, in the mass consciousness right now, there's a lot of survival instincts that are coming up. And the reason I touch on this before I go into sharing another gift that Spirit sent my way 11 years ago, before I touch on that, is I did not have a childhood that was supportive, that was expressive. We were not allowed to have a voice or a choice. We also were not able to be heard or really have any boundaries or any kind of self realizations. So the fact that on a conscious level I was dealing with tremendous abuse beyond the comprehension of what I, when I look back on it, I realize that it would not be possible for somebody of that age, and it already was occurring. It was not sexual abuse, it was verbal abuse, but both are just as life-altering. And, you know, things were said to me at 6 years old, like, I gave you life, I can snap your neck and take it. So there was that kind of intensity being shared, or rather propelled and projected onto me at a very young age. And what started happening was, regardless of the age you are or what support you have around you, when violence is sent to you at that level with such intensity, you're going to contract. Your humanity, at least, I'll speak for myself, my humanity would start to contract. That means I would feel the smallness and the disempowerment of that moment, because I was, you know, 5 or 6 years old, and this was being projected onto me by adults and family members at that. But what ended up happening very quickly was, as I started to contract and pull in to try and survive, spirit would come in with light, with fuel, and with a strong statement coming from love stating the exact opposite. And so I would have a negative dialogue, or the dialogue that was negative and imposed upon me would repeat inside me, but at the same time, it's like standing in the light of the possibility that the opposite can be true. If this exists, then the opposite must exist somewhere as well. Certainly, I would say your intuition and your internal voice, if you're struggling in any way in your life right now, from either the present moment, but you're struggling with words of the past, or even a definition of the past because you never got a chance to claim your own truth, or maybe fear and survival has seized you in your life right now because of struggle, my invitation to you and my life statement to you is that at the exact same time that you feel seized and unable to breathe, there is the freedom from that, and allowing yourself to stand in the light of that possibility is enough to see the light coming in and to feel, even if it is a minute, nonetheless hugely important, minute amount of light and freedom that you're able to breathe a little bit better. It is worth it, and so I invite you all, in your own way, and again, only if it resonates, to really call upon, I stand in the light of the possibility that there is something just as strong, just as intense, and just as beautiful as this ugliness is, and it's available to me and through me. And those very words that I just shared with you were not unsimilar to the words that Spirit would speak resoundingly through me. So that is, I truly believe, why I even still am, is because of Spirit I am, basically. So, with that said, let me share with you that about 11 years ago, so we're fast-forwarding from 5 to 6 to, you know, from 11 years from now, I was with a group of people in Mount Shasta, California, and I was just hiking or walking around, and basically, my experience that I'll share with you, another real life experience that I lived through, and it changed my life tremendously, was that because I had sight and the ability to see auras and beings on the other side, and have been doing readings and sessions for people for years, well on my way. I was very, at 11 years ago, and even more so now, of course, so I was very used to and comfortable with seeing different structures of light, different crystalline structures, like the skeletal system of light where a divine temple once stood, or where the ancestry of a Native American family still dwells, et cetera, et cetera. And so, here I am walking around Mount Shasta of California, and the mountain is magnificent. It is beyond words, really, which is finding difficulty in describing it with words. Don't want to limit it. However, just majestic, just unbelievable. So there I stood just taking in, and I stood towards the as far as you could go. You can drive up about 8,000 feet and park your vehicle. I got out and I was just standing in front of this majestic, magnificent being. And again, I see forms and I see beings as those forms. This mountainous being was and still is exquisite and beyond words. Really, only your feeling body can take it in. So there I stood looking at this magnificence in front of me when off to the left and up, very high altitude, way up at the top of the mountain, where the reason I say it's way up is that I could barely see it, and if it had not been at that location, it's like if you hiked all the way up to that location where I saw what I'm going to tell you I saw, you would have to walk over it like a wall, and you'd be on the other side of the mountain. You wouldn't be able to see from your perspective of where I was standing. So way high up at that point, I just stopped and stood and stared at this brilliant gold sphere and ball of light. And it was so beautiful and so bright that I just felt myself standing there and just staring at it. And then I felt very quickly upon staring at it, a tremendously fast-moving and intensely strong emotional reaction to this ball of gold light. And I just found myself bawling uncontrollably. And I felt such a strong emotion, but it was beyond just a humanistic emotion. It was beyond the relationship of happiness or joy. It was a universal feeling that I could only honor. I felt it was so big by allowing the tears to rush forth, and it was really like that, exactly, a universal reunion that I felt was happening. Certainly my mind didn't understand it, but my feeling body was registering everything very quickly. As I looked at this ball of light, which was huge, I asked myself, like I often do with all the experiences that go on in my life, what is that? And when I asked what is that, I immediately noticed it was in movement. And being so far away from where I was standing, I didn't know if it was moving away from me or towards me or to the side. But I just stood there and I said, what is that? And for those of you who haven't visited the majestic Mount Shasta in California, there are many walking paths when it's not covered in snow, but there are many different walking paths that you can take all over the mountain. And I very quickly began to notice as it approached that it had moved down a particular path to the left, and it had moved all the way down to about a foot away from me. And there I stood, staring at this ball or sphere of gold light, so bright, yet doing nothing, bothering my eyes, meaning doing nothing to bother my eyes or bother anything. And it was not a solid gold color. When it got so close to me and stopped, it was, and at this point, you know, I'm doing the, you know, can't breathe because I'm crying so hard. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, where is everybody? Where is anybody else? And no one was around. So I'm staring at this ball of light. It's not solid. It's in movement, and it's turning in on itself like the most graceful choreography you've ever seen. It is just so graceful and peaceful, and its movement within itself is just that of this graceful choreography. And it's right there and then, and it wasn't non-moving in front of me. It was moving internally within itself, and then the entire form of it, stick with me, everybody, was pulsating. So it's like it had a heartbeat, or it was pulsating to its own rate of speed, to its own rhythm. So it was slowly moving up and down. And right there and then is when I recognized fully, wait a second, Cynthia, this is a being, just like you have arms and legs and a torso and a head. This is a being, and this is this being's form, because I feel love and warmth and light and all-knowing, time before, time now, time after, all time at once, right here and now. Everything is a part of everything right there and then with this being. And as I registered that within me, throughout the whole time, my breath was taken away several times where it was just, you know, magnificent. And right there and then, it started to shape-shift in front of me, and it moved from a circular shape to an oval shape, and then it just started elongating right in front of me, right in front of my eyes. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that I could look at my watch and go, wow, that's really interesting. 10 minutes have gone by. 20 minutes, I wonder what it's going to be. No, I don't mean that. I mean that it shape-shifted outside of time. I blinked my eyes, and it had turned from all those shapes into a being in a similar form to mine. All of a sudden, in front of me, about 14 to 15 feet high, very tall, I was staring up at this being, was staring down at me with arms, a torso, and legs, and this androgynous, which means the complete balance and centeredness between masculine and feminine being, this face looking down at me with so much love pouring forth from the eyes that I, again, was just, I think I was standing there. Maybe I had fallen down and stood up several times, but I just stood there looking up at this being and just feeling the experience, really not able to think anymore, just feeling the experience. And so then, of course, questions started coming into my feeling body, as well as I'm starting to hear a dialogue within me. And I've been speaking to my spiritual counsel, my guides, most of my life, the entirety of my life, prior to 5, maybe unconsciously, but from 5 on, most of my life. And my telepathic communication has been registered on the scale of my being, from my heart center to my third eye, out into the center and towards the individual form, and then back again. But when this being spoke to me, it was a communication of such wholeness that the telepathic communication moved through every cell of my being, through every structure and etheric aspect of my body. It just moved through me. I heard the communication all the way through me, even to the tips of my hair were registering that this being was communicating with me telepathically. And when I responded to this being, I had this experience of my own body and my own etheric body with all of it responding. There was no tiny aspect left out of that communication. It was really a communication of wholeness that changed the landscape of my communication with universe and all form to a whole other level, which I didn't even know was possible. So this dialogue started back and forth of wholeness. And of course, I asked if this individual had a name, and I was told this individual's name is Luxor. And I asked if this individual had ever lived on Earth as a human. And I was told that at the time of Lemuria and Atlantis, that this being had a lifetime and was in a male form. And so I'm going to say he, just for the easiness of our human dialogue, but he certainly is not a he. He is an androgynous being. So Luxor had a lifetime at that time and shared with me that it was a lifetime of unlimitedness and the ability to travel through thought, the ability to grow back limbs, the ability to communicate so intensely with Mother Earth and so truthfully, I have to say, that there was an agreement with all forms, including Mother Earth's form, to agree to manifest whatever was needed, and therefore it was. It was a complete experience of balance. There was no lack at that time that Luxor participated in Lemuria. And there's more to that, but I'll share that more of that later. So, of course, this communication, again, was also outside of time. I wasn't... Who was thinking of time at a time like that? Excuse me. So you can probably tell it gives me such unbelievable joy to talk about Luxor, and that I just, the joy and the smile on my face cannot be wiped away. So this communication continued, and Luxor said to me in communication telepathically that he was a part of a universal council, and that this universal council was comprised of many beings of many different forms and from many different dimensions, but that they were here to answer the call. And I, being who I am, I said, "What call?" And I was told by Luxor that for centuries, humanity has been telepathically, consciously, unconsciously, through prayer, etc., even through communication with one another, meaning human to human, sending out a call to the universe to end, put an end to suffering, to pray to put an end to separation, to illness, to imbalance, to all sorts of atrocities. And that for centuries, this universal council had, in through every possible measure of the attempt to communicate with humanity in a way that humanity would not, let's say, doubt themselves or explain it away or think, wow, that was an amazing revelation, and then the next moment go back to density and limitation. That this universal council had tried through dream state, awakened state, and the attempt to talk to people through meditation, through candlelight, through music on a radio, through many modalities and venues you can imagine. And if you can't, please do, because the attempt of this Universal Council, I'm sure amongst many others and angelic councils, etc., the desire to connect and assist humanity has been ongoing. So Alexar said and requested that, and said to me literally at that time, your light, your physical body can house our light frequency. Would you be, we would be so honored, and would you please provide us with the opportunity to allow us to channel through you? Well, let me just tell you that at that moment in time, that present moment in time, I really had no, I'd never trans-channeled, I'd never been to a channel, I, that was not part of my conscious recognition. And so I really had no idea what that meant. But the love and the light and the energy of purity and truth and warmth was so present and all-encompassing that without question in that very moment, my response was, yes, I would be honored, and having really no idea what that meant. Well, right after that communication and communicating on some other things that I'll share with in the next show, I was taken on a journey. And the journey was one that I would not even be able to share with you again unless I had physically lived it as I have. And the journey was basically, Alexar said, walk over there to an area where there was grass and lay down. And so I did. And still crying at this time, still in awe. Well, I'm still in awe of the entire relationship and journey, but in as much as I was then. So I laid my body down, and before I could start asking questions, which would be like me, all of a sudden I was up above my body. I was looking down at it, and I know that I was above my body because I was looking down at the body on the mountain. And I looked to my right, and Alexar was present with me and some other beings, which I'll also address in future shows. And I was in movement, and I only know I was in movement because I, as I looked out through my eyes, first I looked down and I saw that my physical body was with me up above, and I could see that it was all like electricity and light. I was literally in my light body, in my holographic light body, and I could see it in kind of a gold light. So I started in movement because I could see that the body on the mountain, I was moving away from that. And so I asked Alexar where we were going, and he responded by saying, move deep into the core place of love within you. Take a deep breath and request to go there. So I did, and all of a sudden, another magnificent, words are so limiting, terrific, outstanding, unbelievable experience happened where I, all of a sudden, was outside of time. Again, this didn't happen in an hour, two, or three, where I was like, wow, interesting, and I was having a mental, massive dialogue during it or while I was waiting for it. It happened outside of time where, all of a sudden, I was feeling the energy, and I had shape-shifted into, basically, into a neutron, or into the first forms of movement in on the earth plane. Then all of a sudden, I was shape-shifted into a chimpanzee, and I could feel my light body in that form. I could feel the weight of it. I could feel the smell of it. I could feel the vibration of it. I could feel the density of it. But I could feel it for just a moment, and then I was shape-shifted into every single form, four-legged and winged, that exists in the on the animal plane. And so I was moving from one to the other to the other. And what I will say to you is that the moment that this happened, I could barely even create a thought, and I was into the next form. But when I returned, it went all the way through to elephants, etc., winged ones, hawks, eagle, everything, to all the way through, and then to rock being, to I was in water, I was liquid light, I was a blade of grass, I was the tree, everything. I was the sky nation, I was the cloud, and it all happened so quickly. But when I was returned to my body, and then of course the one that I was returned to was my human body. When I returned to my body, I was able to retain and actually sit with for weeks and months each form and re-experience it in its own time. I could reconnect with that animal form and be with it and communicate about it, understand it, and communicate with it, find out where it was, what it was feeling, etc. I mean, it was just amazing. And for those of you who might or might not be thinking, you know, wow, what trip was she on? Never done anything like that, so wouldn't know as far as drugs, etc., was, you know, as pure as the snow, and was, again, I would not have believed it. And maybe if I had read this, I would have thought, wow, that would be an amazing experience. I would love to have that experience. But I wouldn't be able to speak about it the way I am now, or wouldn't even speak on behalf of it unless I had lived it. And again, you know, my motto is, I'm Cynthia Sloan, and if it resonates, make it your own. But I'm sharing this with you because it is possible to conceive that you are connected to a universal truth and symmetry that goes way beyond what you're just experiencing in the moment. And I am also sharing it because it was my experience, and what has happened beyond then is even as incredulous and truthful, and truth is stranger than fiction. So when I returned to my body on the mountain, I awoke and I was just, I think at this point in my recalling, I felt so much oneness that I was out of even the emotional body. I was in a complete state of bliss and deep, I'm going to say, cellular knowing. I was just in it. I was just being. And so, from that moment on, I sat my body up, and I sat there for a while, looked around. I didn't see. I could feel Alexa. I could feel the other beings, but I didn't visually see them at that moment. And I could hear Alexa. Alexa said, walk over to the mountain and put your hands in water. Well, I didn't know what he was talking. What water? What was he talking about? And so immediately upon my standing and turning to the right, I heard a swoosh, swoosh, swoosh noise. And so I moved towards that, very slowly moving towards that. I mean, and the other thing that was fascinating was to be out of body, the lightness that I felt, the complete movement of the wind. I was just as light, to the degree that when I was back in my body and I stood up, I was like, whoa, I can feel that density. I could feel the weight of being in my back in my body, and the weight connectedness to gravity of myself and all form. It was just as magnificent, but I could definitely feel that. So I was, you know, walking kind of slow. So as I walked over to the water, I just put my hands in it, and I wasn't concerned with whether the water was going to be cold or hot, etc. When I put my hands in the water, I didn't feel the temperature of the water. I felt like I was the water itself, and so it felt like liquid light, and it felt very silky, and I felt that silkiness through my hands instead of over them. And it was just another amazing experience that registered within my soul and in my being. And just at that time, I looked up and I saw some people on the mountain, and I waved them over. And they basically, as they walked towards me, one of them started like sort of hitting the other one on the arm, but they were both staring at me. And as they stared at me and walked towards me, and yes, I did know them, they kept stopping, staring at me, and hitting each other on the arm. And so as they approached me closer, what I came to find out later, as we all communicated and shared our experiences, what we could at that point, in as much as I wasn't really very able to verbalize anything, but what was happening for them on the other side of the mountain was, I guess for them, they saw different pathways on Mount Shasta at the same time that I was having my experience somewhere else. It's a very large mountain. And they visually saw these gold pathways. I guess all the different pathways that you can hike were plated in gold. That's what they were experiencing. When they were walking back towards me and hitting each other and staring at me, when they finally got to me, standing in front of me, I couldn't talk. I can only imagine the look on my face. They said to me, your hands and your face, because I was wearing a jacket that covered everything else other than my hands and my face, are gold. It's like the gold on the mountain. And it was only then that I looked down and saw it and recognized it, in my hands anyway. I certainly was in no state to ask for a mirror to see if my face was. I absolutely was taking everything in and just at that time not even able to say, this is my truth, this is not my truth, this is my experience, this is not my experience, etc. I was just a sponge that had been filled up with universal knowledge beyond my conscious momentary capacity to conceive of it all or to even break it down. So let me stop there and say that for all the people who are participating or not, or listening, or just taking it all in, just being as far as present for what I'm sharing, I share with you this because don't be so sure the miracles in your life have stopped or that miracles don't exist, because they do. Miracles exist, and I not only share that based on my own life, because again, I wouldn't be here if it were not for spirit and our universal connection to all that is, but also to the day, if not daily, constant opportunity in working with clients all over the world, that I'm given the opportunity for to witness miracles for and with other people. And they exist and they can happen. And they can happen for you and with you when you least expect it. However, I invite you to have a daily divine dialogue, and one that you invite yourself to stand in the light, the possibility that you are a part of the miracle that you are seeking, and that you invite that miracle to be first shown to you in your life so you can speak on behalf of it to others. And once that happens on a small level, or a huge mountainous level, you'll never stop speaking or living that truth again. And it does not by any way, shape, or form mean that you won't have hard times or times that test that truth, or times where your greatest triumph is also your greatest hardship. But I tell you this, from my personal, physical, soul level, human, mental, energetic, vibrational, and electrical experience. Have I covered it all? Probably not. Once you have a physical experience of a miracle and what's possible, then your relationship with this physical world will begin to change. And so I invite you to allow that miracle to make itself known to you on a physical level. And one of the surefire ways of having and allowing that to happen is to really start saying to yourself, in your own words, if these resonate, please feel free to use them, and if they don't, throw them out. But in your own words, you might start saying to yourself, in between the struggle and the negativity and the doubt, I thank myself for the miracle, or I thank spirit for the miracle, or I thank the miracle for the miracle. Start giving gratitude for something that you are desiring or waiting for, and you will quicken literally the magnetics of its ability to move through all the reasons that you have created why it will not, it can't, and it won't, and it shouldn't happen. It will move quicker through all of those blockages and slowing patterns to register for you, with you, and through you once you start giving thanks for the manifestation of it. I'm just saying, try it and make it your own. I want to thank everyone that's participating this evening, physically or etherically, and of course, always with deep humility and gratitude, Alexor and Universal Council, for the opportunity to share the gifts that you have given me, and I'm sure there's much more to come. So please tune in, not this coming Monday, but the next, for the continuation of this life-altering gift that I'm sharing with you. And I invite you to really sit with it and contemplate it, or not, either way. You can check out some more information about Alexor and how he has affected other individuals that I have channeled or trans-channeled him for at Cynthia, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A, Sloan, S as in Sam, L-O-N as in Nancy, the number 9.com, CynthiaSloan9.com, and feel free to email me as well at C-Y-N-S as in Sam, 999 at gmail.com. So this concludes this show. Please tune in. Thank you so much for participating. And as always, this is Cynthia Sloan, and if it resonates, make it your own. Good night.